I think it's that the founders were too smart. I honestly think that. I think they were too smart to fall for the hypocrisy of Christianity. I think they were too noble and too in tune with the human condition and their own condition. They were too honest. They had too few filters, thank God for them, to swallow the Christian crap. That's Christian with a K and crap with a K, that would send upon the earth the triple heresies of eternal torment, free will, and Trinitarianism. Of course, free will, yes, they were proud men, so I can see them embracing that, but I just can't see them embracing eternal torment. And so they weren't, let's say, maybe sure, as religiously and zealously sure of their God as Christians are. They know that God's going to destroy people for eternity. They know that they have a free, untrammeled, uninfluenced will. And they know that Jesus Christ is the same being as God. So in their Dummkopf confidence, they would infect the rest of us with it. And the founders were too smart for that. I think that's what I'm saying. So I got to tell you something sweet. A sweet lady named Nancy wrote me and she said, Martin, have you got your way worked out of the laundry room yet? You know, have you obtained escape from the laundry room? Speaking of my living conditions, as you know, I lodge in a laundry room inside of a house. And I reminded this woman, the laundry room represents an accomplishment. I have strained and labored and worked my way into the laundry room. The laundry room was a goal for me that I have attained. And so I'm not about to surrender the laundry room anytime soon. It's a wonderful place to live. I'm the closest guy to the modem. The modem is in the laundry room. So who has the fastest internet? Look at the studio cam. That's right. And who has the only private access door? Moi. And the laundry room is on the other side of the kitchen from the other two rooms and Juliana's room. So I have the most private quarters, you see. And so, and not to mention the discounted rent. So what's not to like about the laundry room? And as I've said before, I can do my wash anytime I want, even if it's 3 a.m. Other people can't, because they're not allowed in my room at 3 a.m. because it's my room from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. It's my room. Other times, of the times I just mentioned, I open the door. People can come in and out as they please. But between those hours, it's my room. And I can do laundry all night if I want. And it's so great. So the reason my hair's messed up is I purposely messed up my hair. I purposely went scrunched it over there because I'm reading ahead in Revelation in chapter 14, starting with verse 14. And I hate this section of Revelation, and I still don't know if I'm ready to tackle this. There's some giant spiritual hand keeping me from this. It is, I'm going to have to pray about this, and I'm going to have to read more of this and just can't stand it. So I thought today I was going to dive into, I might read it today, but I'm going to finish up the seven mountains of dominionism. Kind of getting sick of that too, but I'd rather talk about that for another month than this. Don't worry, I'm done. I thought I was going to be done Friday. I apologize. I don't plan on not doing what I say I'm going to do. I always like to do what I say I'm going to do. It doesn't always work out that way. Because, as you know, this is a freelance operation. I have no notes ahead of time. None. Once in a while, I'll write maybe one or two sentences down. I have no script. I have no notes. I am winging it from the minute I push this little red button here. And it's a miracle. I'm telling you, every day is a miracle. Because sometimes I feel so inadequate for the task. And so I just trust that my enthusiasm for the things of God will carry me. And even if I don't feel it right before I do a show, when I push that button, I come to life. And not only is it my desire to defend God and to promote that which pleases God, but also you, knowing that you're there, knowing that you're watching me right now, helps me a great deal. Otherwise, I mean, it's almost like that when I push this button, I open a door and all of you come in this room, you know, and you just crowd in here and we have this Bible study together. So I think that's pretty great. All right. Now, at rightwingwatch.org, that's a tongue twister, I'll have you know, I'm reading an article called David Barton Advocates Seven Mountains Dominionism by Kyle, and then some last name that begins with M. Seven Mountains Dominionism seeks to place Christians in control over the seven forces that shape and control our culture. Oh, first, I got to read this previous paragraph. I don't think I read that yesterday. Beginning with Janet Porter's May Day for America prayer rally on the National Mall last year, this dominionist theology has become increasingly commonplace in religious right events, ranging from the National Day of Prayer events to Jim Garlow's Pray and Act 2010 election effort. Christians are bringing this prayer into it. They're really loving the idea that they can, by their efforts, by their strong-willed prayers, which must be accomplished with scrunched-up faces and gritted teeth, they can force God's kingdom and God's will upon the earth. Back to the article. As we have explained before, Seven Mountains Dominionism seeks to place Christians in control over seven forces that shape and control our culture. And here they are. I feel like Jim Lang from The Dating Game. We have three eligible bachelors, and here they are. Love The Dating Game. That was a great show. Here they are. One, business. Two, government. Three, media. Four, arts and entertainment. Oh, the Jews have taken over arts and entertainment. I'm going to get to that when we get to the intoxicant of Babylon. Five, education. Six, family. And seven, religion. The reason for this, as Lance Wallnau, the leading advocate for Seven Mountains theology, explained, is that Jesus, quote, doesn't come back. Oh, this is interesting. Who is this guy? Lance Wallnau, W-A-L-N-A-U, who is apparently the leading advocate for Seven Mountains theology. He says that Jesus, quote, doesn't come back until he's accomplished the dominion of nations, unquote. Doesn't come back until he's accomplished the dominion of nations. What a terrible twist on the truth. Jesus comes back to accomplish dominion over the nations. That's why he's coming back. What morons. That is unbelievable. Doesn't come back until he's accomplished it. So he's accomplishing it by not coming back. Therefore, he has to work through his wonderful people who are so smart and talented and hard praying. And the way dominion of nations is accomplished is by having Christians gain control of these seven mountains in order to install a, quote, virtual theocracy overseen by, quote, true apostles who will fight Satan and his Antichrist agenda. Fight Satan and his Antichrist agenda. Satan does have an Antichrist agenda. This is so twisted. But Satan is against the true Christ. So the Antichrist agenda that these people think they're going to be fighting is actually, again, Satan's agenda being worked through them. Satan has people working out and enacting the very thing they think they're fighting. This is proper deception. This is really great, incredible, monumental deception by the Prince of Darkness upon these poor people and their pawns. Christians are pawns. but they're useful idiots. I'm sorry to have to put it that way. Christians are useful idiots. They cannot think for themselves. They get their theology through drive-up theology windows. They listen to whatever their pastor says. They're only in church to be entertained. They're only in church because of the fellowship, because of free donuts, free coffee, free childcare, whatever else you get free at church. But that is a terrible reason, I say to you, to be in the institution, because they're so screwy. These are the people bringing in the Antichrist while claiming to fight the Antichrist. In the past, we have caught people like Porter teaming up with Seven Mountains Advocate Cindy Jacobs. Don't know any of these names. Don't want to know them, but I'm giving them to you now. And praying for God to give Christians control over the media and government mountains. Now, I've heard it complained by religious type people that the liberal wing of the government, the atheist wing of the government, the get God out of society wing of the populace has taken over popular culture. They've taken over the television shows and they glorify things that God may be not too crazy about. And they emphasize a breakdown of the family. It is so true. Movies, television, they really emphasize the breakdown of the family and of culture. They love it. They put a zoom lens on it and they shove their microphones into the faces of people who are miserable. But these people become heroes. They become these antagonists. They're rebels. They're rebels and they're dissatisfied, disquieted, and they're angst ridden. And these are the people we want to hear from because they're so profound in their disappointment over the country, over God, over the nation, over everything. These people are not at peace. They're not at rest. And yet we shove our microphones in their faces and we shove our cameras in their faces. And these are the people who are running television, running the shows, making the movies. And once in a while, you'll get a diamond in the rough, in the mush here. You'll get a diamond out of the chaos, is what I should have said, that puts forth, you know, some really decent values, happy endings and everything, when people stop shooting each other, finally. Guns. It's so ironic, isn't it, that there's a certain sector of our country that wants to get rid of guns, you know, the liberal sector. They want to destroy Second Amendment rights. They claim guns are evil, guns are bad. And yet in the movies that these same people make, all they do is shoot guns. So it's hypocrisy to the extreme degree. Carol, Cindy Jacobs, never heard of her. Good. I'm glad I never heard of her. I don't want to hear about her again. So the Christians now want to take control back. They want to put their own stuff into the culture. And that's Glenn Beck's doing that in a big way, really. But they have to be careful because if they make it too saccharinated, too sweet, Jesus loves me this, I know, for the Bible, that nobody's going to watch it. So they have to put an edge on it. They have to make it kind of cool. Jesus loves me this, I know, for the Bible tells me so. But that's... But they're going to succeed to some degree, to a significant degree. In the past, we have caught people like Porter teaming up with Seven Mountains Advocate Cindy Jacobs. I read that sentence. I had to read it again. Oh. We've even found David Barton sharing the stage with Jacobs. In fact, later this month, both Barton and Garlow will be joining other Seven Mountain Dominionists / spiritual warriors. Oh, now they're calling themselves spiritual warriors for an event called Government Transformation Summit for Visionary Leaders. Why do I hate that title? Government Transformation Summit for Visionary Leaders. But Barton has tended to keep his ties to this movement under wraps, and we had never heard him explicitly advocate Seven Mountains Dominionism until today on his radio program. I'm not going to play this. There's a little radio clip here. But I guess I'm not going to play it, but apparently I'm going to quote it because the article quotes it here. 14 minutes into the show. I only have a couple minutes left into this show, which means this is going to have to leak into tomorrow, which is just as well because I don't have it in me to start Revelation 14. Thought I did. I don't. Sorry. Don't have it. I looked ahead. This stuff, I hate it. I hate it. Sorry, God. I'm not saying I hate your word. I'm just saying, really, really now. Why do you have to write an entire book on 3.5 years? An entire book of the Bible. Wow. Paul's entire career, spanning, 40, 50, 60 years, dispersed over 13 books. Okay, I'll give you that one. All right, I'm not making any sense. I'm making no sense, God, and I apologize for my presumption. But really now. All right, let me just give you a clue of what I'm so upset about. And I perceived, and lo. For one thing, that word lo. Why can't you just say, I perceived, I saw, and then wow. Wow would be better than lo. A white cloud, and on the cloud, one sitting like a son of mankind, having a golden wreath on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. So here's the wreath of kingdom, of kinghood, and sickle in his hand. And another messenger came out of the temple crying with a loud voice. Of course, everybody cries with a loud voice in this book. They're always crying with a loud voice. And why are they always crying? Are they crying like weeping? Or are they crying out? The word out's not here, so apparently they're just crying. And another messenger came out of the temple crying with a loud voice, him who was sitting on a thrust in thy sickle and reap. Thrust in, for the hour came to reap, and the harvest of the earth is dry. Oh, the hour came. How many times have we read that phrase in the book of Revelation, and the hour came? How many times does the hour have to come before this freaking thing is finished? How many times? How many times? Look, I'm going to regroup and get a good night's sleep, maybe get a little glass of wine, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.